and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is the Morning Primetime Newsmaker.
The Newsmaker segment today is brought to you by F&F Feeds, now with a second location north of Opie on Highway 99. Your local Golden Harvest corn and soybean seed advisor.
F&F Feeds of Emporia has expanded to better serve Lyon and the neighboring county's agricultural community. Their second location, north of Opie on 99 Highway, allows them to better support the area's feed, fertilizer, chemical, and seed needs. Contact Derek Bam, your local Golden Harvest corn and soybean seed advisor, at 620-343-7155 to see how he and the F&F team can help you. F&F Feeds, proudly serving the greater Lyon County area's agricultural needs.
KBLA, we are live and we are local and we are wet. Yeah, 3/10 in the rain gauge here and much more on the way. Stay tuned, we'll keep you posted on weather conditions, but it looks like some fairly robust rainfall reports will be coming in throughout the day today, so stay tuned with us. And we're very pleased to be joined this morning on our Primetime Newsmaker via the KVOE Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line by Southwick House Director Susan Brinkman and Board Chair Jeremy Dorsey. Update on fundraising and maybe some construction timelines they can tell us about here this morning. Susan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
Thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time as always. Jeremy, good morning.
Jeremy, how are you today, bud?
Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, I'm sorry. My signal dipped. Good morning. I'm doing good. I'm gonna blame that on the rain.
Okay. All right. Well, it's great to have you undipped and with us here this morning now, Jeremy. There we go.
All right. Well, Susan, let's start here with the recent announcements here, specifically revolving around grant funding and gifts. I had a chance to announce three big gifts to the overall coffers here. So you've got to be excited about where things stand with the overall campaign and really what these donations mean.
Well, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I am so grateful to all of our charitable foundations in the region. They really have been curious and understanding about our project and see the need like we see the need. So this recent round that brought us $75,000 was much needed and puts us at about 60% of our goal.
All right, 60% was about $2.16 million then, Susan?
It's about that.
Okay, that's great.
Jeremy, from your perspective, how does this move the campaign along towards the goal, aside from the fact that you're now essentially at another mile marker at 60% of that $3.6 million total effort?
You know, hard work is incremental sometimes, right? It's just, you know, bit by bit, inch by inch. And so we've been in this journey now since almost 2020, 21. I want to say that the steering committee that was put together by the court after Plum Place, when the receivership was put into place around 2020, 2021. So this is, for some of our board members, been almost a five-year journey. And so it's pretty extraordinary to actually kind of, you know, be this close where it's not just that there's a conceptual finish line, but we can actually see the finish line. It's extraordinary.
Well, we know that Southwick House is expanding on the original mission of Plum Place. Let's talk about that mission. Exactly what is that mission, Susan, for those who might not know?
Sure. We will provide low-barrier transitional housing to women and families in Lyon and surrounding counties. So low-barrier simply means we have a lot of great shelter facilities in our community, and many of them are tied to a funding mechanism that defines who can access their facilities. So perhaps it's substance use disorder defines that, or domestic violence defines that. But we will not have that as part of our mission. So the other thing that we'll be able to do that we were not able to do in our first 100 years of service is that we'll be able to serve full families as well as single parents and have minor children under the age of 18 in shelter with us. And that was a big need that was identified when I was hired in 2023. We did a need study and a feasibility study, and one of the things that we heard consistently was the need for families.
Jeremy, now that you have that, you know, and this has been part of the conversations slash action plan now for a while, but how does the, and Susan, maybe this is better directed to you, but I'm going to start with Jeremy on this. How does having families in the fold change kind of the original skeleton, the original framework for how Plum Place operated now that Southwick House is taking over this larger mission?
So I think that it's important to remember that Plum Place was not just an organization, but physically a mansion, right? It was the Plum Place. And it had certain issues that basically precluded it from having small children there and certain families and stuff. There may have been something with the paint and how the building was put together, but also it was an extraordinary, beautiful property, and it had lots of stairs. It was not the best safe space for littles, you know what I mean, very small children. So really the big change is that, I think the original Plum Place organization would have served families and families of children if they had the capacity and the space to. Their property really precluded it. So their mission was a little bit more narrow. So when we were in this opportunity a couple of years back to kind of start from, scratch, for lack of a better term, that was something that we identified as really important because, we have some great organizations in our community, but, Shiloh House is a maternity home. If you're not, pregnant or with a small child, you're not going to go there. SOS is physical and sexual and domestic violence. If you were just a person who had, a crisis event like a massive medical bill, you lost your job, your car broke, that's not going to qualify you for SOS. And then, the men's mission is only going to take men. They don't take kids. One thing that our group really honed in on is what was the gap in terms of transitional housing, in terms of shelter services. And so we're trying to fill that gap a little bit because it is not uncommon in this type of work to hear stories about mom goes to the shelter with kids and then dad goes stays at the Motel 6. And then he pays out the nose every day to go stay at the Motel 6, yeah, which just makes the family even more poor, for lack of a better term, and more likely to struggle and not get to a place of independence and self-sufficiency.
Southwick House continues raising funds for a new transitional housing facility that will be in South Emporia. So describe to us what exactly you will be building, Susan. What's this going to look like?
Oh, it's so exciting. We will have a 9,000-square-foot shelter. It will have 14 rooms and one non-congregate room that's fully self-contained for those full families, so that it will have its own laundry and kitchenette and bathroom facilities in it, and then 14 rooms that share kitchens and baths and living spaces. We will bring 42 beds into the transitional and shelter inventory in our region. And that's just really exciting because I think folks don't realize when you say homeless, everyone has maybe a particular picture in their head of what that means. But the folks that we are serving are probably not the picture in your mind. So these are folks who are truly part of an invisible population. They're episodically homeless. They're not chronically homeless. So they've had that one triggering event, like Jeremy mentioned, maybe a medical bill, and they live paycheck to paycheck, so they lost that access to the housing. And they're, maybe living in a hotel, living on the couch of friends and family, and there's just no stability to ever get caught back up. And we know that once you fall into that episodic place, your odds increase of becoming chronically homeless. If you have minor children with you, their risky behavior activity increases. So we're really providing a space for folks who are what you would maybe call upstream, and getting them stable right away and back into independence and productive lives.
Jeremy, how has the need maybe become more evident, or has the need become more evident since Southwick House really took over for Plum Place and expanded the mission over the last 2 to 3 years?
Well, by virtue of some of my former employment, I always was able to see the need up front in a way that maybe most folks in our community couldn't, right? Because I had represented people who would, get arrested, go to jail. They were in debt collections. They were struggling. They were dealing with these things. In terms of the greater community, I think it's important to recognize that there are, I'll put it this way. You know, we have social media pages for Southwick House. I'm one of the administrators of those pages. Every few weeks, we get a message from someone wondering if our doors are open, wondering if we have beds available and how they can go about applying. And those are folks not just from Emporia, right? This is KVOE, and most of us all probably who are on the listening area are going to be living in Emporia and Lyon County, but we serve areas outside of Lyon County too, right? The surrounding counties. And so periodically we get these messages from folks who are looking for shelter and housing right now, and we have to refer to them to, you know, our companion organizations, you know, our partners in the community, to kind of catch up. So what I will tell you is that being in this position has allowed me to see even more so than, you know, my previous employment did, the ongoing need there. And I think Susan really speaks to that. There's this invisible need of people who are struggling, who might be couch surfing, who might be living off a friend or living with mom and dad. And so it's not necessarily the homeless person in a tent in a park that maybe we all conceptually think of, right? And so I've really been able to see more of that population, who, like Susan said, sometimes is just invisible.
Again, we're with Southwick House.
Really,
go ahead, Susan.
Another really good example of that is, I mean, I field phone calls weekly about folks who are looking for shelter. But we work closely with our local school district and their student services office. And each year in May, I get that number. And this year it was 63 families who were living in long-term couch surfing situations. And of those 63, we determined that 61 families would have qualified for Southwick services. So it's an invisible population. If I told you there were 61 homeless families in our community, you would maybe question that, because they are invisible and doubling up with friends and family.
Southwick House Director Susan Brinkman, Board Chair Jeremy Dorsey with us on our Primetime Newsmaker. Well, before we let you go, Susan, 60% of the fundraising goal, that is where you stand as of right now. So when can we look at moving forward with some moving of dirt? And what's the long-term forecast as far as when you'd like to have things done?
Sure, it's pretty exciting. We're working with our architect and engineer, and we have those designs finalized actually this week. And they have been sent to the city for approval and review. Once those come back, we will have some additional fundraising that we're going to do this fourth quarter. I would expect we'll have a contractor in place first quarter of 2026 and begin breaking ground again sometime in the first quarter of next year.
Great stuff. Well, guys, really appreciate your time. Jeremy, thanks so much for joining us here today, and best of luck here as things continue.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Yeah, speaking of fundraising, we've got
to talk Turkey Day.
Yeah, we're going to be turkeying, aren't we, Susan?
We are. Yeah. We have the Turkey Day Dash, and of course it's on Thanksgiving morning.
Sure.
And I just want to say the registration is open, and you can register from our website, which is southwickhouse.org. And this year we are going to start from Gravel City Roasters. And we're grateful to them for being our host location on Thanksgiving morning. You can get a warm cup of coffee. And then we will, of course, our friend Amanda at the Emporia Rec Center has designed a challenging and fun course. And it will take you through the beautiful ESU campus.
Awesome
so
stuff.
I know. I'm pretty excited about this. So be sure and get registered for that. It's a lot of fun on Thanksgiving morning, and you can eat twice as much turkey.
Agreed. There
Susan,
you go.
Susan, thanks. We appreciate you. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Jeremy, thanks. We appreciate it.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good day.
All right, Jeremy Dorsey, Susan Brinkman talking with us from Southwick House here today, and we'll have a story updating the situation here, plus